Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a lot of you already hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Ann. She's listening in New Jersey. Hi, Ann.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
A little confused. I was watching the 700 Club. I normally watch that like every day. And at the end, he answers questions. And at the end of the question, a lady wrote she wanted to know if she was saved if she didn't believe in the Trinity. And he told her, you're saved if you don't believe in the Trinity. Isn't the Trinity based on what the Bible says it is?
Well, you know, I think here's the deal. I mean, we believe in one God. We believe that the Father is God. As Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is God. In fact, Jesus Christ asked the mother of all questions, who do you say that I am? And the answer to that question makes all the difference in the world. The Bible also teaches very clearly that the Holy Spirit is God and that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So I think it's important for us to bow our knees before God's revelation of himself in Scripture. So to not believe in one God, let's say believe in a multitude of gods, not to believe that Jesus is God, the Father is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and not to believe that they're eternally distinct would mean that you're believing in a God that's distinctly other than the God of the Bible. So I think it's important for us, again, to believe in God's self-revelation in Scripture.
Okay, well, thanks, Hank.
You got it, Ann. Thank you so much for your call back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Gary in Weedsport, New York. Hi, Gary.
Hi.
How are you?
I've been better, I guess. My question is that, first of all, I'm not a Christian, but how do we know that God is real if we can't see him?
Well, you know, there are a lot of things that we can't see. We can't see black holes. We can't see electrons. We can't see the laws of logic. And yet we believe in all of those things, including the law of gravity, which we cannot see. So to suppose that something that cannot be seen does not exist, I think is a bad way to think in general, because even a full-blown empiricist holds fast to the law of gravity if he's standing on top of the Eiffel Tower. So here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Or, as Paul put it, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, his divine nature have been clearly seen, having been understood from what has been made. And therefore, we as human beings, says Paul, are without excuse. If you see a universe, you know there has to be a universe maker. If you see a basketball, as simple by comparison as that is, you know that there's a basketball manufacturer. So the universe itself is an effect that demands a cause equal to or greater than itself. Thus, if you look at the heavens, you immediately recognize that there has to be a God, particularly when you start to recognize in an age of scientific enlightenment that we live in a universe with at least 170 billion galaxies with each 100 billion or more stars. So we see the infinite dimensions of the universe, and they point to an infinite God. Now, while we can come to the end of the universe, although I don't know that we can do it in time or in eternity, we can never come to an end of our exploration of God. There's another thing, though. God hasn't just left us with the proof that I've just enunciated. He's given us far more. He has condescended to reveal himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And again, the Apostle Paul explains that in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. So the incarnation of Jesus Christ is the supreme act of God's self-revelation. And through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the power and presence of God in a way that is more fundamentally real than even our perceptions of the physical world in which we live. So we know that God exists even though we cannot see God as we are sitting in our living rooms or our cars or in the world in which we reside. We know that He exists because we know we exist in a universe that can only be explained by an infinite, sovereign God who is able to do such miraculous things as speak, and the world springs into existence.
Okay.
So, Gary, tell me, why have you seen better days? What's troubling you?
Well, I've started to, I feel like this, there's this big empty hole right in the middle of me, and I've tried to fill it with all these other things, and it got me to thinking. I just turned 50 in May, and I went to church when I was a small kid, but I haven't been to church in a long time, and I walked away from it, and I just, has led me to believe there's got to be something more in life than what I've been living for.
And that is exactly true, and perhaps the Lord is bringing you to a place of recognizing the truth of that, which is to say that God has placed within us a vacuum that only He can fill. And if God does not fill that vacuum, a host of competing appetites vie for the position of filling that hole within us. So I think it's critical that you recognize that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible is a reliable authority for faith and practice, and that giving your heart and life to a biblical worldview will fill that vacuum in such a way that you can have peace in the midst of life's storms. Now, becoming a Christian or embracing a biblical worldview doesn't solve all of your problems. In this world, you're going to have trouble. You get sick, eventually you're going to die. But what it does is it supersedes all of the problems through the hope of resurrection, which is to say that through resurrection, we know that one day we're going to inherit a universe in which there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away and everything has become resplendently new. Not only our bodies, but the universe itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. And that's the biblical hope. The biblical hope is resurrection, and the reason we believe in resurrection is because Christ rose from the dead. He is the earnest of all of us who will one day rise from the dead. And really, Gary, to receive Jesus Christ is a matter of recognizing that you are a sinner, being willing to repent of your sin, which is a way of saying wanting to do it God's way as opposed to doing it your own way, and then receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And the Bible says, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. And if you embrace Jesus Christ, you will have everlasting life. And that's not pie in the sky, something that's going to happen when you die, but rather it is a present relationship with the very one who knit you together in your mother's womb.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Gary, if you want to hang on, let's find a way that we can stay in touch with you and perhaps help you, guide you in making Jesus Christ more real than the very flesh upon your bones. So please just keep hanging on. Don't go anywhere. Blaise Pascal was right on target when saying that there's a God-shaped vacuum in our lives that only He can fill. And when God fills our inner vacuum with His Spirit, life just flat works. But when God does not fill the vacuum, a host of consuming appetites swarm through our better intentions. It all adds up to a kind of powerlessness, which always results from living far too far away from the grand enabler. When we will not provide a place for the direction of the indwelling Christ, all that is left, even for the believer, is the frenzied agenda of our hassled discipleship. It's one of the reasons I wrote a book titled Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, and it is available as one of the many resources for your support of this ministry. It's why I wrote the book. It's memorable, but it gets us back to those basic foundational principles of what it means to be a learner or follower of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be right back with more answers in just a few moments.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Don't want to miss this opportunity to let you know that if you join the Bible Answer Man support team, be pleased to send you a copy of one of my books, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check that out on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Gordon in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hi, Gordon.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
My question is concerning Bethel, the church in Reading. Really appreciate their worship and their heart for prayer and so on. And I've listened a little bit and certainly heard that they have room in their theology for suffering and for unanswered prayer and so on. I wondered if you had any concerns at all about their doctrine or their teaching that I should know.
Well, yeah, a lot. I mean, he teaches that each and every believer should manifest miracles as evidence of their faith, and then he butchers John 14 to make his point, and from that stems his heretical teaching that Jesus functionally laid aside his divinity in order to show that any ordinary individual devoted to God should do through dependence on the Holy Spirit what Jesus did. But not only that, he also has all kinds of weird and wacky practices that I describe in my book, Counterfeit Revival, like falling gold dust and angel feathers, and he has reports of people being raised from the dead. But let me tell you something, no documentation. And if people are being raised from the dead, as indicated on their website, there ought to be names and addresses, and this should be trumpeted all over the world because resurrections from the dead are not normative. Jesus rose from the dead in evidence that one day we too will be resurrected, but that's something we long for. In the meantime, the death rate is one per person. Every single person is going to make it. And while God can temporarily resuscitate people, we're all going to die of our last disease before the time that Jesus appears again a second time. Bill Johnson and Bethel Church are a blight on the body of Christ, quite frankly. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Alex in Bellflower, California. Alex is listening on the web. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm pretty blessed. I got a quick question to ask you. There's a buddy of mine that, you know, I'm ministering to, and as I'm ministering to him, we were speaking, and he was telling me what happens to the people that are, let's say, okay, from the point where Christ was crucified on the cross, he came back, from the point of Pentecost, where, you know, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled amongst the 112 people in the upper room and the 11 disciples in Acts chapter 2, from that point on, from dispositional period of grace till right now, he asked the question, what happens to Native Americans that are in other parts of the country who died and had not heard the gospel, who have not heard of the name of Jesus? What will happen to them? So I gave my answer. He was very distressed about the answer that I gave him. So I just wanted to get your opinion. I wanted to give your input. Excuse me. So.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Alex, I mean, Paul answers that question, doesn't he, when he says on Mars Hill at the Areopagus, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact times and the exact places that they should live, and God did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Now, how can Paul say that? Well, he's given us the answer in Romans. No matter where you are or what epoch you live in, you look at the starry sky, which was more visible to an ancient than it is for us who live in the midst of light pollution. But you look at the starry skies and you immediately know that there is a God. So we all have, no matter where we live, the light of creation, and through that see God's eternal power, his divine omnipotence, which is plainly seen through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. And then Paul goes on to say that we also have an inner light, which is to say that all human beings have a knowledge of God written upon the very canvas of their consciousness. In other words, it's an internal knowing that there is a God. So we have an external knowing and an internal knowing. And Paul goes on to say that if we respond to the light from without and the light from within, then we can receive the light of Christ. Now, sometimes that light comes through non-normative means. In other words, God revealing himself directly to someone because they're seeking him. And that is in response to God saying, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will in fact find me. Sometimes, and most often, the case is that God works through agency. In other words, he will send someone. A classic case is found with the Ethiopian eunuch. So he's completely clueless when it comes to the gospel, and all of a sudden God sends Philip to him. And Philip explains the gospel to him such that he understands, is baptized, and then brings the gospel into Africa. So the Spirit of the Lord moves throughout the earth, and he is available to all those who diligently seek him, all those who want a relationship with the one who not only spoke and the universe leapt into existence, but the one who knit them together in their mother's womb and wrote a knowledge of himself on the tablet of their heart.
Okay, so could I try my best to summons up everything that I think you're saying? And if I'm wrong, please correct me, because I just want to get it right, you know? I just want to get it right. Are you saying that when God spoke to Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, 2 Timothy 1:9, we are called with a holy calling, et cetera, that when Christ died, pretty much we... If there is an inner light which is inside of us, God, that is...
Well, not when Christ died. Every single person has the imprimatur of God upon their heart. In other words, God has made himself known to them through an inner knowing, such that, you know, in a foxhole, there's never an atheist. When everything goes awry, people cry out, oh, God, help me. Suddenly they believe in a God because there's that inner knowing that is written upon our heart. Now, we try to obscure that knowledge. And Jesus said, light came into darkness, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Okay. So what you're saying is there's a lightness inside of us, and if we choose to... search out what the light is.
Well, we can either respond to it or reject it. And if we respond to it, the light becomes brighter. If we reject it, then that light becomes diffused. Blaise Pascal, who I quoted earlier, was famous for saying that God lives in enough light so that if we want to see him, we can, but he dwells in enough obscurity so that if we do not want to find him, we won't.
So what do I give somebody the question when they say somebody to the Indians that never, to the Native Americans that were slain and slaughtered that never found Christ, are they saved? Is there a heaven or a hell for them?
Well, what you say is that first of all,
the appropriate answer.
Well, the appropriate answer is the answer that I gave you, which is that a Native American has the light of creation, and as I mentioned, many of them had a brighter light of creation than we do when we live in light-polluted cities. So they see the heavens that declare the glory of God. They see God in those things that God has made. The Native American also has a knowledge of God written upon the tablet of their heart. The Native American, therefore, that responds to the light of creation and responds to the light of conscience can receive the light of Christ. And, you know, it is also instructive to note it's never the absence of knowledge that damns, it's the despising of knowledge that damns. So if you despise knowledge, God is not going to reveal himself. He's going to remain in obscurity. But if you love the light, God will reveal himself. And therefore, I quoted Jeremiah 29 saying, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. Therefore, the Native American or the Australian or the Asian or the American or the Dutch person who stands in the greatest size with people from every language and nation will not have an excuse saying, Lord, I had no way of knowing. They will all be justly and condignly condemned if they do not embrace the light that could have been theirs. God is not throwing up roadblocks or obstacles, making it hard for us to find him. As Paul said, he placed us in the exact places and the exact times so that we could reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. And ultimately, we can leave all peoples in all places in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God, and know beyond the peradventure of a doubt that his judgments will be absolutely perfect. If we were those who knew all the converging factors, we would be thrilled with the judgments of God, for he does all things right in a glorious fashion. Thank you for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, God bless you.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.